Hello, Dick. Oh, it's wonderful of you to stop by on your rush to the airport to come in and see me.
Well, it's a real pleasure to be here, you can be sure.
Oh, well, it's grand. Well, I want to ask you some very impertinent questions. How do you feel about Harry Truman's statement that all this Alger hiss and Chambers was red herring?
Well, I suppose I would be inclined to be a bit prejudiced as far as that statement was concerned, but I would like to point out that the president first made that statement in direct reference to the Alger Hiss case itself. He made the statement on August the 5th, 1948, on the day that Alger Hiss came before the Committee on Un-American Activities and denied knowing Whitaker Chambers and further denied that he had ever been a communist or was a communist at that time. That afternoon, the president had a press conference, was asked about the investigations being conducted by the committee, said that it was simply a red herring, and that as far as anything the committee was bringing out, that it wasn't bringing out anything the government hadn't known throughout the years before.
Well,
he said
me.
That we were simply doing it, incidentally, for political purposes, to take the minds of the people off of the real issues of the campaign.
Well, tell me, Dick. Oh, that's very interesting. But tell me, has Truman eaten that red herring yet?
Well, I've understood that it's been well cooked and fried and presented to him, but he still doesn't seem willing to eat the red herring and to apologize to the committee and the American people for declaring that the investigation was a red herring. It seems to me, incidentally, that in that connection, that the fact that since Mr. Hiss has been convicted as of perjury, of lying when he said he did not turn over these secret State Department documents to Whitaker Chambers, that the least the president should do is to say that he may have felt that at one time it was a red herring, but now that the facts had come out, that he was glad that the American people knew the facts and that this sinister conspiracy had been exposed for what it was. Because had the committee not been in existence, these facts would not have come out.
Well, I agree with you 100%, but being a Republican, I'm afraid a lot of people would think I was prejudiced. But I'm not. And what do you think about the commies in the State Department? Do you think that they should be named and their names should be brought out in the open?
Well, my answer to that would be this. I think that the committees of Congress, the Committee on Un-American Activities on the House side, and the Judiciary Committee and other committees on the Senate side should investigate the charges of communism and communist fellow travelers within the State Department. And I think that the president should cooperate with those committees by turning over information regarding the loyalty checks which have been made by the administrative branch of the government. Now, I think we will all note that the president recently and various State Department officials have said, we ask anybody to prove that there are communists within the State Department. If they really mean that, I think that they should take the initiative, and if their house is clean, they should not refuse to do, as they have refused in the past, to turn over the information to the Congress so that the Congress can investigate the facts and present the facts to the American people.
Oh, I think that's great. Well, do you believe, as Walter Winchell said the other day, that Dean Acheson contributed $25,000 towards the defense of Alger Hiss?
Well, I haven't had a chance, personally, to check the charge that Walter Winchell has made. I do know that there were rumors which were around Washington during both his trials that contributions had been made by members of the Acheson law firm and had been solicited by members of that firm for Mr. Hiss's defense. It would seem to me, in any event, that in view of the fact that Mr. Winchell has made that charge, that the charge should bear investigation, because that may be one of the reasons why Mr. Acheson, even as Secretary of State, has constantly defended Mr. Hiss time and time and again, even during the trials and after the conviction.
And tell me, what about this rumor that they've been trying to get J. Edgar Hoover out of his job for a long time?
Well, that isn't a rumor, unfortunately, for the American people. The communists, the pro-communists, the fellow travelers, and a lot of the soft-headed liberals are attempting to attack the FBI and are claiming that the FBI is a Gestapo police state organization. They are asking for an investigation of the FBI. Now, let me say that when the time comes in this country, and I believe this sincerely, when the time comes in this country when an investigation of the FBI is made so that these people will have access to the FBI's record, a deadly blow will have been struck at the security forces of our country. And I think that all real Americans should support J. Edgar Hoover and the FBI. It's the finest police organization in a free nation in the world today, in my opinion.
And I couldn't agree with you more, and I think that any number of men that he's asked for, and I understand he's asked for only 600, should be given for him. Because I think now that they're producing the H-bomb, they'll need more and more good agents to look after our interests. Don't you think so?
I certainly agree with that.
And what about this this story that if Burley, the Assistant Secretary of State, had acted on the information he got from Chambers 11 years ago, don't you think if he had acted upon that, they would have caught this English spy, Fuchs, then, instead of letting all this information go to Russia?
Well, let me answer that question in this way. Chambers first made his charges to Burley in 1939, just 3 days after the Hitler-Stalin Pact. And at that time, he told Burley more than he told the Committee on Un-American Activities when he first appeared before us on August 3rd, 48. Mr. Burley didn't do anything, at least insofar as questioning Hist or questioning Chambers. He said that what he did was that he consulted with Dean Acheson, and that Dean Acheson gave an absolute recommendation for the Hiss brothers. He then questioned Felix Frankfurter. He said he got an absolutely similar unqualified endorsement from Felix Frankfurter and as a result did not investigate further. Now, had he gone further and questioned Hiss and questioned Chambers, a body blow might have been struck at this conspiratorial ring then, and Mr. Fuchs would have been denied the American accomplices that he must have had and must have used in order to obtain the atomic information which he turned over to the Russians.
And in your opinion, did he have a lot of American spies, too?
Well, it is difficult for me to say. I haven't had the chance to investigate that case myself. But I do know that the communists don't operate as lone wolves. They operate in packs. The Canadian atomic case proved that. The Chambers ring, the Bentley ring, the ring in Britain. And Mr. Fuchs, I think, did have atomic accomplices in this country. And let me just say in that connection, some people may have forgotten, but during the past 2 years, the Committee on Un-American Activities has had six scientists from the University of California and the University of Chicago who worked on the atom bomb project during the war before it. All six of these scientists were asked whether they were communist and whether they had turned over atomic information to a confessed Soviet espionage agent. All six of them refused to answer questions on the ground that any answer they would give to those questions would incriminate them. Now, that proves that there was a conspiracy there.
Oh, that's frightening. I don't think the layman has any idea that it's gone so far. Tell me, will the Un-American Activities Committee continue with the slams that are going in your direction?
Well, I might say that being a member of that committee, incidentally, is something I wouldn't wish off on any of my friends.
And I know.
Certainly none of my enemies, even at the moment. All that I can say is this. If the Committee on Un-American Activities had not been in existence, Alger Hiss would be free today. The exposing of that conspiracy in itself was a great service. Now, I feel that the Committee on Un-American Activities renders a necessary service. The public should stay behind it. I do feel that it is essential that we have good procedures, that we protect the innocent from being smeared by people who might have ulterior motives, but I think the facts regarding this sinister communist conspiracy and other subversive activities should be brought to the American public and that the president should cooperate with the committee in bringing those facts out rather than in resisting us at every turn.
Well, with all this activity you have in Washington, and it's necessary for you to be back there, how are you going to campaign in California for the Senate?
Well, that is a difficult job. All that I can say is that I'm glad that this is the age of aircraft, because I do have the opportunity to fly back and forth from Washington and make a few speaking engagements in California and yet be on hand in Washington when the important votes come up.
And when do you expect to be back here to campaign?
Well, I expect to come back at least to do some campaigning in April, although I will continue to have to go to Washington even during that period when crucial votes come up in the House.
Do you think you'll need some help campaigning by a grandmother or two?
Well, I think we can use not only a number of grandmothers, but we don't even have to put that particular qualification on. Let me say that I am well aware of the fact that there are more women voters than there are men, and that you can be sure that as far as my campaign is concerned, although one of my opponents happens to be a woman, that we're going to do everything that we can to pitch this campaign so that the women of the state, as well as the men, understand just what we're talking about. I mean, in other words, rather than talking in terms of billions of dollars and farm subsidies, we're going to talk in terms of the $2 tax on a $10 lady's purse, and in the price of potatoes and beans and other things which the ordinary American housewife is interested in.
Well, good for you, because we're taxed for everything, and the housewife doesn't know that. And the wife and the baby are the ones who are taxed the most. Do you know that there's a tax on everything that a baby uses, from the diaper up and down?
I should know that, because I have two children, one 4 years old, one 18 months, and my wife constantly tells me about going down to the drugstore, buying some baby powder, paying a tax on it. You see, she's tax conscious, of course.
I should think she would be, being your wife.
That's right.
What about your arms? I understand you broke them in Washington and had to carry them in a cast.
Yes, as a Californian, of course, I was walking on some icy steps in Washington a couple of years ago, slipped and fell. I was carrying, incidentally, our oldest child at that time, who was then about 18 months old, proceeded to fall, and in protecting the child, took the blow on my elbows, cracked both of them.
Oh, dear.
Incidentally, it's quite hard to speak, particularly if you talk with your hands some, and I do a little, when both of your arms are in casts. You want to try that sometime, if you like.
Honey, I couldn't open my mouth. Well, I see the clock ticking,
yes.
And I know you've got to catch that plane. It's wonderful of you to stop by, and when you come back in April, when did you say, the 3rd of April?
Around the 3rd of April.
Around the 3rd of April, I will be out to the airport to meet you, and as I say, if you want a grandmother to campaign for you, I'm the grandmother.
Well, thank you very much. And when I do come back in April, I hope that, and I will tell you right now, that when we have a little more time, I think I can give you some inside information on some of these developments that may be even more shocking than what we've talked about here in this
radio today. Oh, Dick, that's wonderful.
Radio today.
I can't tell you how grateful I am. Thank you so much.
Thank you.